gentlemen, trees and non-binaries, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Fantastic Universes podcast, Fantastic Plays, the show where I, Adam Ray, the Izzet Tinkerer, and a very special guest, or multiple guests in this time, talk about our favourite things in the world of gaming, be they PC, console, tabletop, or anything in between. For those of you listening to us through our Patreon support, another big thank you for showering us your love and appreciation. As you well know, you get exclusive access to unedited, uninterrupted versions of all the podcasts we put out, as well as all of our written work well in advance. For those of you on our Patreon, you've already heard the first episode of our new show. I will not give out any spoilers. It is something for you guys to find out in your own dear sweet time. But now, let's shuffle up to probably Fantastic Universe's most, probably one of our newest favorite card games coming on the scene, and one that's getting us with a lot of excitement because we are dear, sincere friends with the creative team. But before we do that, I need a co-pilot. I need a partner in crime. Connor, my good pal. How are you as we dive into the first look in the new world of Host?
I am doing very well indeed, Adam, my friend. I am looking forward to talking to our good friend Jamie here about the wonderful game that we are championing, the wonderful game that we are trying to really dive into as we love it so much.
Well, then these needs no further introduction than that. The founder and forger of Host Warring Card Game, Jamie Dello himself, has returned to the show just in time for Host's big major release, its first expansion, Divergent Paths. Jamie, welcome. How are you doing?
Hello. Yeah, I'm doing great. Thank you. Doing great. Busy one today with the set releasing tomorrow, so I had to get a lot of product out for everybody who pre-ordered. But yeah, doing great. Really excited about the new set. Very happy.
Well, we can certainly say that this is very ambitious in the world of collectible card gaming, because the model of it being accessible and ready to go for any player at any skill level, the way that you've set up the expansions in this one is a breath of fresh air. Would you like to elaborate on the whole process of how it's going to be coming to the grubby hands of us card gamers?
Yes. So, unlike most card games, of course, Host isn't a trading card game or a collectible card game. So any product that you purchase will be either a fully formed deck if you purchase a character deck, or if you purchase any of the expansions or this one-off deck building set, you will get a playset of every card in there that releases with the set. So one product serves all. You will not need to ever buy any other product other than the one of all of these expansions and this deck building set. Just makes things cheaper for everybody and makes it more accessible. And it makes it feel more like a board game with expansions in that sort of field, rather than a collectible card game, which can get extremely expensive, especially in the current climate, unfortunately.
Certainly very true. Connor, my good pal, you have a fair set of experience with many card games here and across the pond. This is just a wildly new release model, wouldn't you say? What are your thoughts on how the expansions are coming out from Host?
I'm very much looking forward to it. It's not like in past history of like Fantasy Flight games with a living card game system where you expect sets to be fairly put out quite quickly so that your money just wanted to slowly gets bled dry that way. Instead, it's here's what you need. Here's the next expansion. We'll let the format evolve and develop as for the next few months, and then next expansion or a bit later another thing or the character decks. It's really interesting to see it from a current landscape for the card game community, because there's no living card game currently on the market, realistically. There's still a couple here and there that are in not doing great, unfortunately. Someone that we know loves their Legend of the Five Rings, but unfortunately that's going. Gone.
It's a shame to see good games like that go, but then again, good games like this are here to fill the void, so let's dive right in, because as you say, the deck building sets, the major expansions, offer effectively everything that you would need to build for going forward from your two of copies of all of the character decks. And that sort of interesting deck building tension means that the combination of the cards we've already been sitting on and all of these in divergent paths means that a plethora of new deck building options have been revealed to us, and we'd love to see it. Talk to us a little bit, Jamie, if you don't mind, about what directions you intended the expansions to go in. What kind of decks are you hoping to emerge out of this new set?
Yeah, so design-wise, I think the most important thing and the philosophy that I want to push as much as possible is I want people to be able to always find something that will suit their playstyle or something that they find fun and be able to build along with it. I think this set especially brings a lot of new, more generic cards. A lot of the new Strife cards, for instance, aren't vampires, even though the character deck itself was a vampire. And a lot of the new emotion cards no longer fit with the dragon archetype, and they just allow for a bit more breadth of field for decks that you want to buy or characters that you might like and how you want to build your deck going forward. The big thing about this set are the environments, which allows you much more easily to run multiple factions in one deck. So if you did want to play Strife and Authority, you can run their environment, which gives you access to either of those two resource types, lets you switch between them, and it just gives you so many more deck building options than what you could find. And especially for such a small card pool, I'm incredibly happy with the number of different decks that I've already seen people testing and already trying out on Tabletop Simulator. So I'm very excited to see what they do when they get the real cards.
Yeah, that's definitely true. The environments that certainly play well to Rosella, the Wandering Painter, as a host as well, lets you give you a real plethora of deck building options because you're able to filter the resources for that. And of course, we've seen the character artwork for this from way back when the game was in first early development, as my good pal Connor was able to find in the drudges of the artist formerly known as Twitter. The joy of it is that the new hosts, the new face cards themselves, all have wildly open-ended sort of static effects, which means that you can build anything around them, which I think is a very welcome thing. And having come off of playing a very hero-centric card game recently, there's a lot having flexibility in it so that you can play different styles with the same character is definitely good for the game's health and longevity going forward. So, Connor, my good pal, why don't you talk to us about your new best friend, Graxis?
Ah, my girl. I just love her. She's so much up my alley of wanting to play a specific game style. So, a tortured existence, Graxis, sister to Yande?
Yes. As
yep, seen, elder sister.
Yep, as seen in the fiction that I put forward, they grew up together and they had a very strong relationship, but as their interests diverged, their destinies diverged and went into very sinister different directions. But for those who haven't, very proud of the fiction I've been able to graciously put out towards developing Host and making it feel more alive and well. But as for the game itself, she's fascinating, wouldn't you say?
She truly is. The fact that what she does is, if you control no entities while you have activate an ambush for the first time in a turn, you gain one authority resource. It leads to an interesting control style playstyle where you're not focusing on entities, or you're trying to cash in your entities to get further value from your ambushes later on. It's the host I've been practicing the most with and looking at the most on how to not necessarily abuse, but to work around with, especially as she has the most health and highest card hand size out of all the hosts.
I think her having a high health stat and a high intellect, to borrow a term from another card game, Flesh and Blood, I think that sort of adds to the playstyle. I think it means that you can really get a sort of almost draw-go style control deck out of her. And of course, being in the same faction as Nebulous, the Risen Mist, means that you always have access to an aggressive body that returns itself to your hand. So they know that there's going to definitely be a real aggressive stance to it while still using a lot of
ambush effects like Subtle Strike to make sure that you can really get people on cards in hand and eventually get that sneaky kill out that way. Though, of course, I'm sure you've done something very silly in your initial testing, haven't you, Connor McGoodbell?
I was going to talk about that later, but yes, I have.
Yes, I'm sure you have.
I have built a list that it has zero support whatsoever within the card game currently. Using the term that gave me my name, a Highlander Draxus list.
So for those who are unfamiliar, those can think back to the I want to say 1980s action fantasy classic, because there can be only one. There is only one of each card in the deck because, I don't know, you're mad.
It's also because of a little something we'll announce at the end of the video. A little foreshadowing of something that's going to be going on.
Well, I think then we can sort of look to one of the other face cards, and I can definitely say that while we have a strong control type host here, I think that it was a very strong point of design for Jamie to include an aggressive host in her younger sister Yande, giving all of the entities in the same faction rushed, which means they can attack right away on entry. I think that was a deliberate design choice on your part, just to make sure that there was an aggressive counterpart in the new card pool.
Yeah, not only that, but I wanted Graxus and Yande to kind of be as opposite from each other as possible. So giving the Yande the effect that when you play something, it can immediately attack for even more benefit of playing entities out, and then giving Graxus the effect of having no entities being the way that you want to play the game, kind of wanting to pull them apart just lore-wise as well. But it also works out very well that it's nice to have a deck that can be much more sculpted towards aggro strategies and one that can be pushed in the opposite direction.
That's very true, because you've got cards like New Annabella and Goblin Battlemaster, which are also sort of supplement into that strategy. Obviously, you're okay with playing Battlemaster as a second entity per turn because it has a rush on its own, but just being able to force through additional damage, and then with cards like Sword of the Damned to just really improve the attack value on certain creatures you want to stick to the board, there's a lot of effort for this to be a particularly strong and aggressive deck.
It's also turned out to be probably my favorite deck, which wasn't the case during testing, but now that I've been playing it more on TTS with people, I'm really, really enjoying it.
That's interesting. Do you have any insight as to why that is? What's drawn you to it, and why your opinions changed so quickly?
I think it's probably just more to do with when I see people building all of these really creative decks with this new set, what they can do with the old hosts and new hosts alike. It's just I enjoy keeping things nice and simple. For my own benefit. And Yande helps with that in that regard.
Oh,
being able to just keep the deck building quite simple for my own sake, and then being able to keep the gameplay quite simple as well. There aren't that too many massive decisions that need to be made. But yeah, I think that's probably the main reason, to be entirely honest.
I think it's still perfectly valid, because again, thanks to the environment forms and, of course, Rosetta working around them, which we'll get to in a second, you have a lot of deck building flexibility here, so that you can filter your resources to play lots of different two-color almost combinations in this expansion. But, of course, Rosetta lets you start with one of those forms out in play so that you can really represent emotion and whichever other element you want to represent in your deck, so that you have access to a lot of good versatility in cards and resource filtering, so that you don't feel too taxed to play them. I think that's definitely the version I'm going for. Connor, my good pal, can attest to the fact that I enjoy what I like to call value castle decks. Decks that are like to do lots of very efficient things very powerfully, and the painter is very good at helping me achieve that.
Yeah, just the absolute flexibility of your resources not really having many issues means that you have a lot more ability to flex into value-oriented decks. Whereas, say, Meridius would be similar. He is shoehorned into the dragon archetype and has to more or less stay within those confines to get his value engines. Rosella allows herself to flip between multiple different engines within the game that are currently present.
Yeah, and I think the thing I like most about Rosella's design is with the environment forms coming, she does give you a plethora of design decisions for your deck. I don't think I've seen two people build the same Rosella deck yet, and that for me is really nice to see. Just the core idea of their deck is just so different. It's not just one or two tech choices, it's how they want to play the game is very different from each other. That's kind of what I wanted. So I'm really happy to see that that is coming to fruition, at least somewhat.
No, definitely. I think that's just a testament to good design and flexible design, so that lots of different styles of decks are all viable. Because again, unlike most other CCGs where you open packs and hope to pull a money mythic or just like the ultimate version of a high power character, everyone has access to the same card pool, so you're allowed to create and vary right out of the box. So if you're rewarded for deck building, you can really come together with a lot of few things. And I'll admit, I probably haven't been super original in my Rosella list yet, but I'm still very proud of it, and it's a deck that I enjoy. And I think that's the magic of this game, is that there's enough flexibility here that you can play lots of different archetypes that fit to this board style management style of game. So it's been excellently handled in this expansion. But for friends who stand the original hosts from the original character decks, we see them now as actual attacking and blocking entities. And I feel that though, as though hosts within the lore and the confines of the game, they are very powerful beings, and that represents very well in the actual entity cards themselves. Was that always something you were going to do? We're going to put them as character cards, as entity cards, and then because they were hosts first? Does that mean we'll see entity versions of the painter one day?
Well, I will say that it has always been the plan. Nice. These very powerful historical figures in these worlds that end up being hosts. They weren't always hosts. And not only that, they aren't always hosts once they become hosts. It's a little bit something more that will tie a lot of the worlds in together that will be revealed at some point. But just because something is a host doesn't mean it always will be. And just because something isn't a host yet doesn't mean it always won't be. So there's always room and scope for characters that you've seen on cards or characters you'll see in the future on cards that aren't hosts might become hosts and vice versa. And as you said, currently the only host in the game that doesn't have an entity version is the painter. There is reason for that, but that reason won't become completely apparent until the final expansion for this world, before we move on to the next one. So I'll keep that in my pocket a little bit, but yeah, there is good reason for that.
Something to be very excited about in the future of the game. So before we jumped on the actual call, my good pal Connor, you lamented that Big Daddy Dragon Meridius didn't really get much support, but that's only because he was very strong in the preseason. Correct me if I'm wrong, is the actual entity version of Meridius one of the first two color cards, two resource type cards that I can recall?
Yes.
Yeah, he is currently the only two resource type card.
Yes, because amidst all the emotion, he has gained strife.
He certainly has, and I think it's nice to see these multi-faction cards. We're going to be seeing this more often as the game goes on, but of course it's nice to just introduce it slowly. And at the moment we felt like Meridius was probably the best choice, especially considering that with the dragons you do have a way to still cheat him out if needs be. Albeit after a couple of turns of waiting, and you can therefore still circumvent that double resource cost if you need to.
It's a good way
certainly
to
does
building. Yeah,
exactly. And that's going to be something that comes out more, that comes more in the future. Obviously, these multi-faction cards lets us be a bit more expressive with card design. It lets us push the limits a little bit more because they are more difficult to play. You can just make them maybe a little bit stronger or maybe a little bit ahead of the curve, as long as we don't, or as long as we ensure that that difficulty in casting them remains consistent throughout the game, which is not something we want to change ever. We don't want to blur the factions together. We want them to have an ideal for each of them, and yeah, we want it to be something where it's worth the effort that you put in, but there is effort you have to put in.
Again, very flexible card design that we've seen utilized well in other games, but has really found its footing here to lead towards what we can see is like very powerful and very splashy cards. Excellent stuff. So what are some of the things, other than, of course, strange Graxxus lists, what are some of your big takeaways from the expansion, Connor, my good pal?
So far from the expansion, I have found that there's become a lot more focus on the impulse keyword, a brand new keyword introduced within the set. The ability to play at instant speed, as we typically know, or flash speed. The ability to play during your opponent's turn or during specific timings during attacks and such allows for a lot more expressive style of play. It makes the game a lot less deal with what I've done during your turn, and then I'm going to deal with that. It makes it a lot more interactive, a lot more fluid in its gameplay. You're not set there as much during your opponent's turn waiting for them to make their moves. Instead, you're able to actually get involved. I also love the inclusion of slot matters cards. As entities enter their slot and leave their slot, effects occurring. It's been one of my favorite things to play around with so far, with my Graxxus list focusing quite heavily on Michael, the ability to heal and avoid taking damage because he's not getting destroyed.
You're confident of that, are you?
I would say that Michael's done pretty well so far in the couple of games I've used him in, considering if Jamie has managed to see a couple of games where I played against someone within the server, and the ability to just place it back on top of your deck with other cards, like Amethea, who, in my opinion, is incredibly powerful within the game, allows you to make some really interesting deck decisions. And the ability to get them off cards like Horror of Blood makes it very exciting when you spin that roulette.
So aside from the strange deck-building loops and value engines that you've been able to seed into your Graxxus deck, what other mechanical tricks and treasures have you noticed in this expansion, Connor?
I've noticed that there was an interesting thing with Renai. For those who've played Magic for a while, there's a card known as Snapcaster Mage. And it really brought me back memories of that card, as it allows you to play a sorcery from your graveyard and then exile it instantly once it's resolved. And I felt like that new type of recursion within the game is really interesting and allows for some more, for lack of a better term, big-brained plays.
the 400 IQ outplays, that yes. Sort of style.
Very much so, because so far most of the recursion pieces we have are only activable during your own action phase, whereas I believe Renai has impulse.
Yes, that's great.
Yes, she does, yep.
Yes, and so that ability to be able to play during your opponent's turn with cards from your grave is very interesting, and I think that has a lot of play to it within the game, and I feel like going forward it's a very powerful card.
Yeah, and speaking of Renai, actually, she ended up being probably my favorite card to design in the set, and to balance and to play test with.
Oh.
It took a while to get her into a state where I felt like she was playable but not too strong. But I think we got there, and I do really like Renai. Yeah, probably my favorite card in this expansion, actually.
certainly one of my favorites as well.
I do want to ask about that. Yeah, it's a very cool card and currently winning.
Unfortunately, Connor, I think it is going to win the playmat vote at this point.
Oh.
But don't fear. I do have a little surprise.
Good.
Very excited.
For those of you unaware, if I may, on the host Facebook page, they're currently doing a vote for a certain something that we will be discussing shortly, where we're going to be designing the first artwork for the first official playmats from the game, a vote for the first card art to be placed upon them, of which, unfortunately, my favourite artwork, Life or Death, is a part of the vote. As is Renai and our own preview card, Grace. So it was a difficult vote, but not really for me.
Honestly, for me neither. All of the artwork in this game feels either very storybook and very sort of close to epic fantasy, except of course all of the artwork by the lovely Claire, who just like soaks us in with astounding watercolors that takes us back to a simpler fable time. All of, like, they've been able to really nail down the artwork to be consistent and coherent in this game compared to in this expansion compared to the character deck. So that's been lovely to see. So yeah, if it does end up being Renai, I'm very happy with a little wizardy scamp just doing tricky magic things in the streets of the City of Mages. But what iterations actually went into designing this character, this entity card? Because there must have been some fairly wild designs previously, like the stats. Does she play the sorcery card for free? The costs. What absurd versions didn't make the cut? If you're willing to share.
Yeah, well, she started off as only being able to play emotion sorceries from your drop zone, but she was a one cost and she was a 3/3, so she was quite insane when we had her with that stat line. She did have a downside as well. We decided to lower the stat line and remove the downside at the same time. Mm-hmm. And by doing that, it felt in a nicer place. But there was one recurring issue that we had with her in that form, which was releasing her at this point in the game with that form would have felt a little bit counterintuitive when Meridius, the other host that you already have, can already pull back almost every emotion sorcery that currently exists. Yeah. And having two cards effectively fill the same role for the same sort of cost felt a little bit maybe disingenuous for how large of a design breadth we could have. So we decided to open up her ability, any sorcery, bumped up her cost originally to 3, and that felt too expensive. There was never a time you really wanted to use it because you still had to pay the cost for the sorcery. So we removed paying the cost for the sorcery first. That didn't go very well because that was just way too easy and way too free to get value. So we went the other way instead. You have to pay for the sorcery and knocked the cost down by 1. And that's where we ended up settling on. And it felt perfect. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think massaging the numbers and getting to that sweet spot is just always a tricky thing to do in card game design. But after some iterating, you definitely nailed it. This is a story I love hearing from a lot of different card game designs. I watch a lot of interviews on the topic as well. Was there a design that was so clear in your mind that it's changed very, very little between the first design and the final version that we'll be getting very soon?
Yeah, there is one card that hasn't actually changed since it was first designed. That's Caller of Blood. So I made Caller of Blood, and I had an idea for Caller of Blood. I thought, this is a really good idea. It works with the whole concept of, you know, them calling other things to their side, like lesser entities to them to do as the effect would work. And the stat line just kind of just happened and it didn't feel too strong immediately, and it didn't feel too weak immediately. It felt a bit random in how it played, which is very fun, because sometimes you do want a little bit of, you know, you want one or two cards that spice the game up at times. You know, you never know what you're going to flip with him. And yeah, I felt like his design was one where we just nailed it straight away. I was so happy with it. We just shipped it. And we just let it roll. Even now, after playing with it after release a bunch of times, it still feels just as fun and just as good as it did to begin with. So yeah, that was a really good one.
First, there was the DC Comics News podcast. Then came the Spinner Rack. And now, the third show brought to you by the guys that brought you all that other stuff I just mentioned. I Am the Night. A story about the stories. A show celebrating Batman, the animated series. Week by week, episode by episode. Just when you thought it was safe to put on a pair of headphones, I Am the Night.
Why, hello there. I'm Seth Singleton, and I'm here to tell you about Mad Pup, a Harley Quinn cast. 3, 2, 1.
Harley Quinn? Harley fucking Quinn? What have we learned from this crazy show?
Making bat shark repellent relevant since 1966.
Oh, look, Booger.
And we've gone completely off the rails.
I hear the bat signal.
Shut up and bat him, nuts.
I definitely do not fuck that.
In need of an adult size nemesis.
Humans make good fertilizer.
You can't fuck with Lois Lane.
For fuck's sake.
I'm a damn good cop.
Lot of lasers.
Educational and informative. The DC Comics News Podcast Network presents Mad Love, the Harley Quinn cast. Back to you, Seth.
So, tell us your thoughts. We'd love to hear from everyone out there. Or not. That's really up to all of you. Fuckers.
Picture this, someone who knows nothing about comics.
Someone who knows comics from movies, TV, and video games.
A complete ultra comics nerd.
You pick the character you want us to talk about.
You send us the questions you want answered.
You make the show.
A podcast by fans.
For fans.
Making new fans.
Superheroes.
Or dummies.
Part of the Comics in Motion podcast network.
In a world of stereotypes, being called a geek comes with a certain image.
There is still that ingrained thing within me that is a little bit embarrassed about it.
In reality, geek culture has never been more mainstream, and behind every geek is a real story.
My dad was the one who got me into Star Wars and things.
Join me, your super dummy Paul, as I continue my learning experience and talk to the real people.
I'm a secondary school teacher, so I teach 11 to 16 year olds in English.
Hear their stories exclusively on Fantastic Universes.
He's one of them, like, you've ever going to grow up? And I'm like, no, why should I like my life. I enjoy what I do. This is my hobby.
Available on all your favorite podcast catchers.
Hi, my name's Steve, and I'm here to tell you all about the DC Comics News Podcast. Every week, my friends and I sit down and discuss everything DC. Movies, TV and streaming, comic books, and everything in between. But don't just take my word for it. Here are a couple of our sponsors.
Listen to the DC Comics News Podcast. It's audio justice.
No. It's audio chaos. These wackos are crazier than I am.
Well, maybe you're both right. Whatever the case, you can find the DC Comics News Podcast on every podcast platform.
Apple Podcasts.
Google Play.
Spotify.
Stitcher.
And everywhere else you find podcasts. So, can I go now?
Let him go. He did everything you asked.
Ha 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 ha
Hello, listeners. This is Tony Farina from DC Comics News and an occasional guest on Comics in Motion. I'm pleased to announce a new show called Indie Comics Spotlight. Each week, my guests and I will be taking a deep dive into a current title or a classic graphic novel from a publisher other than the big two. Consider this show the best of the rest. My hope is that we'll bring new readers to independent comics and give old readers a chance to share their thoughts. Join me each week in the Comics in Motion feed in your favorite podcast catcher.
With all that said, we are gearing up to it getting its proper release and a lot of in-store support up and down the country. So where can... Actually, I'll be blasé about it because this is going to be released well enough in time for this event. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what's going on the 11th?
Yep. 11th of February is the beginning of the competitive season, really. It's the very first competitive event for Host. It's taking place as a part of a how to play event and a deck building session event. It is a release event for Divergent Paths, but of course, if you don't know how to play or you're completely new, you can also come along. We're having a deck building session. We're having a how to play session. We're going to have all of the old product is going to be there, and all of the new product is going to be there as well. So you can really just pick up whatever you like. Effectively, this event is going to have several stages to it. And the most important thing, and the thing I'm most excited for this event is... there will be a tournament after all of the how to play section and the deck building section. And this tournament will have cash prizes. And the prize pool is already looking quite generous. So I'm very happy that I can actually bring that to people. And yeah, we're just hoping that people have fun there. And if you come along, get in the get the top, do well at the event, you can always make a bit of money as well. So yeah, that would be good.
It's a very ambitious thing for a new game to have such faith in itself to put up real prize support and to really look into building its competitive scene from the drop. So if you're able to make your way out there to the Reroll Board Game Cafe out in the jolly old city of Leicester, do so. It will be a historic of a moment for Host. But with all that said, we have... some very clear choices on what we can play because the expansions left things open. But then, of course, I have to look to my left, to my very dear pal. And because you flagged it earlier in the episode, why don't you talk to us a little bit about the Highlander challenge you set for yourself?
So I like to be a pain in Jamie's side.
Yes, we're valued partner creators. You love to have us around, don't you, buddy?
You know... I enjoy having the pain in my side to keep me going. You know how sometimes you just want to rest, but the pain keeps you pushing you forward. You know, it's a good thing sometimes.
It's a very unusual
good,
pain.
Good, I'm glad.
Tell us about this unusual pain, Connor.
So, for those who don't know me, I absolutely love otters. Adore them. They're my favourite animal. They're so cute and cuddly and so amazing when they're playing. However, in the light of the next character deck Binky, and I saw a couple of animals for the Amity resource, and I went, looks like some movie based around animals. There's only gonna be one Amity host for a little while. We're gonna need another one soon, surely. And if all the hosts are based on animals, why don't we have an otter host?
Yes, exactly.
So, I've been pestering Jamie in the server, challenging him day in, day out, not letting him sleep, not letting him rest, pinging him constantly, throwing down the gauntlet of, if I beat you, could I design an otter host, please?
Yeah. And that was kind of how this little challenge was born, I think.
Yes, it was.
See, this is the sort of fun, exciting things you can find on our Discord server, on the host Discord server, as well as trying to force me to cosplay. That was another one that we won't go into that entire saga right now. But if you do want to be involved in pestering me, be sure to join the Discord server. It is good fun, and we've got a nice little community growing there already. So it'll be good to have as many people as possible.
Yes, so between Jamie eventually doing a Hololive concert, as well as me throwing down this gauntlet, I decided I had to set myself a challenge, because I could play my Graxis list that I've been playing with and enjoying, but I felt like I wouldn't earn it if I won. I wouldn't truly have earned the right to design a card, a host no less. And so I set myself a challenge. And I threw down the gauntlet and came up with an idea for a new series of Beat the Creator. And I've got to beat him with the jankiest, weirdest decks to really showcase what you can do with the deck designs and the complete variety of deck builds you can do within this game. And that is how Highlander Graxis was born. For there can only be one.
Yeah, and with my current win rate in host, I'm not looking too hot at taking this one, unfortunately, I have to admit. But I'm hoping the handicap of you playing Highlander will give me a bit of a slight competitive edge. Let's leave it at that.
Have you decided who you're going to play into it yet?
I know exactly what I'm going to play, and I'm not going to tell you, because I need you to be as surprised as possible.
I'm actually going to get Yandayed to death.
Anything's possible. Let's just leave it at that. Anything's possible.
Okay, I'm very excited, because we'll be going away to do that shortly after this. And we shall be... I can't promise the video will be out soon. But for our dear viewers... dear listeners, sorry. And hopefully soon viewers, we will be recording this. Actually recording it so that it visually can be seen. And our dear friend Adam and our dear friend White and Chill Liam will be providing their commentary over the IQ 9000 plays that myself and Jamie will be doing.
Yeah, maybe remove a zero from that and you'll probably get to the right estimation of how I'll be playing, but I'm hoping I can get carried by my deck a little bit.
I was hiding the minus in front of the nine.
Okay, yeah, that also works.
Well, whichever way the game goes, so yes, it'll be a historic moment for host, and you can look forward to seeing that very soon, dear listeners.
Yeah, so it will be found on the interwebs of YouTube. We'll let you all know what channel it's going to be on, but as it's still a little work in progress, but it's something to be very excited about.
There are many things to be excited about looking forward into the world of hosts, but since we have the creator, the Lord and Master on the horn, what can you tell us now that Divergent Path is coming to our COD gamer grubby mitts very soon, and we're excited to see it and take it up and down the country? What can you tell us about the game's future after this expansion?
So next product to be released after this expansion will be the Everlasting Youth character deck, which will bring the final resource type into the game, Amity. That is set to be released in a couple of months. There's no hard date as of yet. We're still contacting our manufacturer and supplier to figure out the exact time that we can get it before we release any dates on that. But the most important thing that comes out now that Divergent Pass has released, as of the time where this is being listened to, is there will be competitive events starting up. So we already have several stores that are involved, and we have several stores that want to run weekly local events. There is, of course, Reroll, which we've already mentioned, Reroll Board Game Cafe in Leicester. Elite Gaming Lounge in Colville will also be running a weekly locals. That will be the one that I will be attending every week. Just throwing that out there. Mm-hmm. And we also have a shop in Leeds, which is very interested in picking up our product. I can't actually say the name of that shop, unfortunately, yet until it's confirmed. But they have expressed interest in running the local weekly events as well. And as well as that, we will be having events on Discord. So if people want to join the Discord, again, that's another great reason to join it. We will be running events on there via webcam. If people wish to play, you can come along, you can play with people. There will be prizing. It will be fun for everyone, hopefully, and should be a good time. So that's the main important thing that's coming out. And that's the thing that I'm most very, very most excited about is seeing everybody playing in these events and hopefully getting a lot of feedback from everybody about how the events run and trying to sculpt them into the best version of what they can be as we go forward.
Very exciting stuff. And you can count on us here at Fantastic Universes to do our color commentary for the big high stakes games that go on Discord and the most high stakes game of all, whatever Connor Singleton Challenge is.
Yes.
So much to look forward to in this future. Connor, my good pal, do you have any further probing questions or closing remarks for our good pal Jamie as we wrap up our deep dive onto host Divergent Paths?
I think as closing remarks, I just want to say thank you to Jamie for creating this game, bringing everyone together, and allowing such a good community and fun energy to be allowed to permeate within the host community. So genuinely, thank you for bringing us all together.
No, you're more than welcome. I feel like the fact that this game is non-profit and it is for the players and for the community, it lets me be more laissez-faire with the community and be and talk to them more and get more feedback and just have a laugh and have a good time. Ultimately, a lot of other places are trying to make money off of their product, as much money as possible, and so they can't really be as groupy with their community as I have the fortunate position of being. So I'm very, very glad to hear that that is something that is enjoyed by the members of the community so far.
Especially once we see you in that cosplay.
Well, we won't quite talk about that one yet, but yeah, let's keep it on the back burner.
We'll give our host fans some surprises, whether they want them or not. Let's go with that.
Exactly. You've got to titillate them to keep them coming back, you know. So
I'll work out what I need to play to beat to earn that.
If that's what you've got to do to make the creator do something embarrassing and questionable, but it's all in good fun and good fair to give host the biggest and most unforgettable platform it could possibly be at. And yeah, we are very excited to see Divergent Paths. If you are listening to this as of the 1st of February, it is available now for you to order direct from host's website or from your friendly local Leicester-based game store. You can find us giving news about it on fantasticuniverses.com, and you can turn to our good pal Vice and Chill on YouTube for his own profiles on it, especially with a lot of profiles and a deep dive going on to the event at the 11th. But as we've mentioned a couple of times, do check out host's Discord server. You can find links to all of this goodness in the description and the show notes. But Jamie, where else can we look to find more and important things about host and anything else that you may be working on?
Yeah, so the most important place I would say to find more news about host is going to be either the Facebook page. You can just search host WCG into Facebook and you should very easily find the page. Give it a like and a follow. And the website, which you can find on that Facebook page, or you can go to host-wcg.co.uk. You should be able to go to the website from there. You can find the Facebook page on there. You can find our Instagram on there and our Discord link all on the website on the sidebar. And that should give you a little bit of information on the upcoming products, on the products we currently have. If you want to have a look at all of the cards as a deck builder, if you want to see people's deck lists, you can go and have a look at the deck list section as well. And you can see all the deck lists that other people are making and get a good idea of what you want to play or how other people are approaching the set and things like that. And really get a good appreciation for everything that we do here. And hopefully I can see you guys in the Discord soon and on the Facebook as well.
Exciting stuff indeed. And as for our dear listeners, we know where you can find us, but Connor, why don't you remind our beloved fantastic fans where they can find you, your writings, and your musings?
You can find me over at Twitter at Akari, or the artist formerly known as Twitter. You can also find me on YouTube at the Prismatic Domain, where myself and some good friends will be making some content, as we alluded to earlier. I can't promise how soon that will be going up. I still have some stuff to sort out for the thing, as I've been working on it for a little while now. But that's something exciting for us to put some energy into. You can also find me over at the Fantastic Universes website, where I will be writing my own article on the Graxis list, showcasing you the trickery that she can provide.
Truly exciting stuff. And as for little old me, sure enough, Fantastic Universe is where you find most of my news, reviews, and interviews across all of fandom and pop culture goodness. I'm still sitting on a few titles I need to review from MegaCon, but procrastination is a killer. You can find me on Twitter, the artist formerly known as @IsItTinkerer, talking about whatever bad beats I've had over whatever card games I'm playing on the interwebs at any given moment. You can find a very exciting project with some very dear friends of mine coming very soon, but that's as much as I'm allowed to say about that. And here on this show, as well as on the DC Comics News podcast, talking about Batman the Animated Series with my dear father. Thank you for listening. This has been the Fantastic Plays podcast, looking at the new expansion for Host, Divergent Paths, February 1st, the most exciting thing going on in the world of card gaming right now. You will love it, dear listeners. But thank you for listening, and until next time, live free and play well.